to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
A lot of times I begin my sermon with a question to get you thinking about what God wants to speak to us about. Today, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm going to give you a test. All right. The good thing is it's not a trivia test. It's not even a Bible trivia test. And it's really simple because it's just fill in the blank. And I think you're going to do pretty good. So I'm going to make a statement that ends with a blank, and I'm just going to stop. And I want you to fill it in, and I want you to be nice and loud, okay? Participate. I know my wife mentioned earlier there seems to be kind of a little bit of distraction, heaviness, whatever. Let's just get rid of that by our answers to these fill in the blanks. Are you ready? All right, here's the first one. I'm ready to throw in the... Very good. How about I'm at the end of my... Boy, you guys are getting 100% so far. My life is falling... All right. I'm just a bundle of... Somebody said joy. That's what we all need, right? Yeah, the answer that most people got, I'm just a bundle of nerves. Okay, here's another one. I'm at my wits. And very good. I'm going to give you one more. It's not a popular saying in our culture, but I think you might get this anyway. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you like rest? How many of you need rest? Yeah, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Jesus' statement, cut down a little bit, but come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I like rest. I think we all do, especially when we've been really busy, feeling overwhelmed, overworked. It can be physical, but not just physical, but mental and emotional and spiritual. I've told people there are times I feel real, you know, when you feel really physically tired and then you're able to just sit and relax, it's great. But you know, sometimes when you are mentally or emotionally or spiritually tired, it's a lot harder to get that rest because you don't get it just by sitting down or going to bed or taking a nap. Seems to take a whole lot more effort, which can wear you out. And you're already worn out. I know that I really enjoy Sunday afternoons. Sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, we'll have a deacon meeting or a membership class or something else. And those are all great and wonderful. But then other Sundays like today, after service is over, I'm going to get something to eat. And then I can just do whatever I want with the rest of the day. And I can relax and enjoy that. And I just happen to take Mondays as my day off, and I get to rest at least part of Mondays, although I usually stack things up on Mondays. That's when I got to cut my grass and do this. And anyway, but those times of rest are so significant. But Jesus did make this promise, and probably most of you had heard it before. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, how many of you have ever done that? You had this need for rest, the rest that Jesus offers, or the rest that you thought that Jesus was offering, and you came to him, did whatever you felt like you needed to do, and you felt like he gave you rest. How many of you have experienced that? A lot of you. A lot of you. But you know, if we're going to be honest, there may be times that we come to God, come to Jesus, with that need for rest. And after that time of prayer, the time of meditation, the time in God's Word, or whatever, either we get the rest, but it's not very long before it's gone, or maybe we don't even get it. And it's like, God, I know you're a promise keeper. I've experienced it, but why am I not experiencing this rest that I need now? Because I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. There's another passage that's similar to this, and I didn't even plan on mentioning it, but in Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about how we should take all of our requests to God with thanksgiving, surrender them to him, and he'll give us his peace. And we've experienced that, but then other times it's like, I don't experience that, or it only lasts such a short time. Why is it that sometimes God's promises just work right on, it's great, and then other times maybe they do, but then the experience, whatever it is fades, or maybe sometimes it's like, well, God, I'm praying about this promise, but I don't quite seem to be getting the answer. There's a number of reasons for that, but many times it's because we take that promise and we pluck it out of its context and we don't look at it the whole picture, and we're not participating in all the ways that we should. And I would just say this about the one we're looking at today, that that's true for this one too. When Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest, he has rest for us. But there may be more to it than what we think. There may be more to it than what we've considered before, because we've not looked at the whole picture. And so we want to take a look at that whole picture this morning. Because when Jesus says, come to me, that's an invitation. But in that same passage, there's actually three. I put two fingers up. Okay, got to get my act together. Three. There are three invitations that Jesus gives to us. And we need to respond to all three, not just the first one. So let's take a look at this passage. It's just a very brief one. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's where we want to stop, claim it, and experience it. But he goes on. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we got three invitations here. And we often respond to that first, like, yes, Jesus, I'm coming to you, I'm ready for the rest. And then we stop. But we need to go through the whole process. So let's take a look at these three different invitations that Jesus gives to those who would come to him. The first one is, come to me. The one we're focused on, the one we like, the one we want to take advantage of. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that word for labor is also translated weary, and it means to work to the point of exhaustion. It's not just saying, well, I did a little bit and I'm kind of tired. That word is specifically meant to someone who's been going and going and going, or whether you haven't been, you feel like you have been, and you're just at the end of your rope, or all the things that we did at the beginning with our fill in the blank. I can't go any farther. I don't know about you, but I've done that many times, and sometimes I do it willingly. Sometimes I do it purposefully, physically anyway. I don't know about you, but if I'm working on a project and it's going well and I'm getting a lot done, I just want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And then I get to the end and it's like, I think I may have gone too far. You feel like you're just going to pass out. But you know, sometimes we do that emotionally too. We just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And maybe it's not even a choice. Maybe life just comes at us from all different directions, and experiences that we've had in the course of our work or school or whatever it is that we're doing in life. And of course, we have an enemy that keeps throwing things at us and trying to bring us down and trying to defeat us and pull us away from God and put barriers between us. And all these things can conspire together to make us weary, almost to the point of exhaustion. He says, those who are heavy laden, overloaded. Again, physically, it's very easy to relate to. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not getting any younger. In fact, my birthday was a week and a half ago. You know that. Most of you do anyway. And I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but as I grow older, I don't have quite the same physical strength and energy and endurance and all that kind of stuff. Has that happened to anybody else? Yeah, I was reminded of this the other day. I went to Sam's Club and we needed a case of paper for the church. You know, a case is 10 reams. Each ream is 5,000. It's a box about like this. And I can remember when I could pick up one in each hand and just do whatever. And so I'm at Sam's and I got to get this case of paper. And I can still lift and move a case of paper. But I'm so glad once it gets into the cart. Then I can build up my strength again. So I get outside and put it in the car. Now, it's not quite that bad. It's going to be a long time, I think. I hope, I pray, before I cannot lift a case of paper. But it's definitely different than it used to be. But you know what? We can get that way emotionally, too. Just overloaded, overburdened. It's like, I used to be able to carry this load. I used to be able to go through these kind of things. I used to deal with this kind of stuff a whole lot better than I do now. Now, obviously, maybe not so obviously, but to make it plain, here Jesus isn't talking about the physical as much as he is about the emotional and the spiritual and the psychological, if you want to use that word. In fact, you know, verse 28, he says, come and I will give you rest. But in verse 29, he makes it very clear that it's rest for our souls. Now, as much as I love physical rest, if I really need it, I'd much rather have rest for my soul. I don't like being in turmoil. I don't feel like feeling like life is weighing me down so much I don't know what to do with it. I don't like feeling like I can't control all these things that are going on in my head, and it's just frustrating. But that's exactly what Jesus invites us to come to him for, is rest for our souls. Rest for those things that bring us turmoil. Now, if you look at this passage in its context, as we've always said, you need to look at passages in their context. The very specific thing Jesus is talking about here is a people that are weighed down. In fact, it mentions several times that people would come to Jesus and he would be filled with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harried. They were helpless. And one of the main reasons was because the religious leaders had put such a heavy burden on them. Now, they had God's law, God's principles, God's commandments, and those were important. They were from God. But the religious leaders had added so much to it and laid that on the people that the people had basically, for the most part, given up on the idea about trying to be right with God. In fact, later in Matthew, Jesus is going to be talking to the religious leaders. And in Matthew 23:4, he said, or talking about them, I should say, not talking to them. He did talk to them from time to time. But when he's talking about them, he says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. So here he's talking about that. He says, listen, you've been under an oppressive religious system that makes you feel like you can never be right with God, but that's not the way it is. Come to me. I will give you rest. I'm going to show you the right way. And of course, that's what he did. He did that in his lifestyle. He did that in his teaching. And of course, he made it possible by dying on the cross to pay the price for their sins, to be right with God. But I would say that what he's saying here applies not just to heavy religious systems, but I think because of what we see and what he accomplished and what we see in the other teachings that he gives and what we see even going through the rest of the New Testament, that when he says if we come to Jesus, we can find rest for our souls, it includes forgiveness for sin. It includes a breaking of bondages that we may have in our lives. So I was preparing for this. I just felt like there maybe was a little bit of that, that there are some of you, perhaps, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You love him. You're trying to serve him. But there's something that's got you bound up on the inside. A lot of things can do that. Unforgiveness can do that. Because we choose not to forgive, thinking that we're hurting or hindering the other person, and they could care less. We're only hurting and hindering ourselves. Sometimes we're bound up with a specific issue or area where we've been facing temptation, and maybe we find ourselves failing more than we're succeeding, falling more than we're having victory. Maybe we've given up. Perhaps there's pain from something that's happened in the past, and not at all to minimize what may have caused that pain, but experiences that you've had, things that have been done or said to you that you're having a hard time letting go and letting God do a work in your life. There's so many different areas where we can feel so weary, so burdened down. Many of them we don't want to talk to people about because we think they might feel less of us. They might question whether we're really a good Christian or not. And I'm not saying that you should just go out and spread all your business before anybody and everybody. We can always come to Jesus, but it is wonderful to have that brother or sister that we can talk about anything with, that can join with us in prayer. But these are the kind of things that weigh us down. trials, temptations, worries, bondages. You know, even in the area of worry, concern about your health, concern about the finances, concern about your kids, concern about your grandkids, concern about your parents, about your spouse, about your work situation. All these things can weigh us down. But Jesus has come to me, and I will give you rest. And that sounds so good. And I would say to you, whether you've experienced that consistently or not, Jesus wants you to. And by that, I don't mean he's going to make your problems or whatever it is disappear, but he wants to help you head down the path you need to head to, or head down, to get that healing, to get that release, to experience that rest, that peace, that joy, that sense of his love that he offers to us. He wants to lift our spiritual burdens. He wants us to be released from fear and anxiety. He wants us to experience forgiveness and deliverance and healing. And I don't mean just physical healing, but healing of the hurts and the pains. You know, there's an old song that sounds very simplistic, but it's so true, and that is, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He said some similar things. In fact, he uses the same phrase and words it a little bit differently in a couple of places, especially in John. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He says, when you feel like there's something missing in your life and you are hungering for it, and maybe you've tried to fill that hunger with other things and it just doesn't totally satisfy, or it doesn't permanently satisfy. Maybe it satisfies for a while, but then it's gone. He says, I'm the one that can fill those internal hungers. In John 7, verses 37 and 38, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I like that picture. So you're so thirsty, you're so desperate. That one in context is talking about the fact that he wants to come and he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, his very own presence, to bring living water, to bring life that'll quench that thirst. And then talking to the religious leaders who refuse to accept him, who refuse to believe that he really is the Messiah of God. He says, you search, in John 5, 39 to 40, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. He says, you know all about the scriptures, the Bible, thinking that through that you can be right with God and have eternal life. And he doesn't disagree. He says, yeah, you can, but you're totally and completely missing it because you refuse to accept the fact that what the Bible says is the answer is me. You've rejected me. And because you've rejected me, you won't have that eternal life. You know, in a very similar way, if we've got these needs in our lives and we refuse to come to Jesus, we refuse to accept the answers that he gives, the solution he provides, the path to the wholeness, then we won't have it. Basically, what he's saying is those who are proud and self-sufficient and reject him never experience that healing and that release. But yet those who are humble, who are willing to admit their need and come to him, can experience his touch. That's why many times he said, you know, you need to come to me like a child. Not to be childish, but childlike. Humble, realizing, I don't have much strength to do anything. I'm dependent on my parents. In the same way, I don't have much strength to do anything. I'm dependent on my Jesus. You know, many people try to satisfy these needs in their lives by pursuing so many other things. Whether it's substances like drugs and alcohol, experiences like sexual immorality, or just giving in to whatever, you know, or pursuing other things, pouring all the time and energy and effort into getting ahead, getting things. excelling in an area of athletics or whatever it might be. And a lot of those things, not all of them, but a lot of those things are not bad. But if we try to find our purpose, if we try to fill our emptiness by those things, it will never fully and completely satisfy. Jesus is the only one that can do that. When Jesus says, "Come to me," Jesus offers us a personal relationship. You see, here's where we may have a little bit of a problem. He's not saying, "Come to me," like, "You got a problem, come to me, I'll fix it, and then you can go on your merry way." He's saying, "Come to me and let's have a relationship. Come to me and let's do life together. And I'll take care of you and I'll help you." In John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." You know, let me just say this about that. There may be some of you that are here today or watching online, and you say, "You know what? I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but I don't think I can come to Jesus because I don't think he really wants me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the pain I've caused, not only for myself, but for other people. You don't know the horrible things that have been part of my life." And I just want to tell you that the Bible makes it very clear that God loves every single person. Doesn't mean that he agrees with everything that we all do. Doesn't mean that he agrees with the choices we've made. It doesn't mean that there is no consequences for the areas in which we've denied him and rejected him and his standards and all those kind of things. But his heart breaks that when we do that, it puts us into bondage. He loves us. The Bible says that God is not willing, that he's not wanting anybody to perish. But his desire is that everyone would repent and turn to him. And Jesus offers us that opportunity. He offers us a personal relationship. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I'll give you freedom from guilt over sin. I'll give you deliverance from fear. I'll give you deliverance from despair and bondage. And I promise to help you and guide you with the Holy Spirit." But at its most basic foundational level, that starts by responding to this, not by treating as if he's some kind of quick fix, but realizing Jesus is inviting us to a relationship. And I know that most of you here that I know, and I know we got a lot of guests today, and those of you online, I don't know who all is online and who is not, but many of you, I'm sure, have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But apart from anything else, that's the most important thing, is that we come to God to establish that relationship, and that relationship is established because of what Jesus Christ did for us. The Bible says that all have sinned and are separated from the glory of God. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. That separation from God that is not only in this life in a spiritual sense, but for all eternity. But that same passage, Romans 6:23, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to make it very as simple as I can, the Bible says that there's nothing that we can do. We may try real hard to be good. We may try real hard to do stuff that God says we should do and not do stuff that God says we shouldn't do. But no matter how hard we try, we still fail. And that sin is still there and it's got to be dealt with. And that's why God did something about it by sending Jesus. And Jesus, God himself, came to earth, became human, lived the perfect life that we could not live, so that when he died upon the cross, his death, the shedding of his blood, paid the price for our sins. And so we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by coming to God, saying, "God, I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sins. I repent and I come to you and I ask that you'd forgive me, not because of anything that I can do or have done or plan to do, but because of what your word says that Jesus did. And I'm going to put my faith, my trust in him. I'm going to begin to live for Him. The Bible constantly talks about, you want to come to God, repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. Repent of your sin, be willing to leave it behind and put your trust in Jesus and begin to live for Him. And that may be the most important thing. In fact, that is the most important thing you need to hear and respond to if you've not yet done that. And that's the very root of Jesus' call to come to Me. And I will give you rest. Because as we come to Him, surrender our life to Him, make Him our Lord and Savior, we get that eternal rest. I'm not talking about when you're dead and in the grave and rest in peace. But I'm talking about it's assured. It's assured. And if you need to do that, I challenge you to do that today. But above and beyond that, He wants to bring rest. Even if we've already done that, there are those things that tie us down, that weigh us down, that hurt us, that we just can't seem to get rid of, and He wants to bring rest. Now you might say, I've tried that, Pastor. I've come to Him over and over again with things in general or specific things, and I get some relief, but life just keeps piling up on me. And again, I think it's because we want to take this promise, use it, and stop. As I said before, we want to treat Jesus as a quick fix rather than a growing relationship, but He has two more invitations that they all go together. The first one, He says, come to Me. The second one, He says, is take My yoke. Take My yoke. Verse 29 and 30, just the basic thoughts there. Take My yoke upon you, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. What's a yoke? So you say, I have some of those for breakfast every day. Not talking about the yolk of an egg. Probably most of you realize that. I'm not trying to insinuate you don't know anything. A yoke is a device. It's a not really a harness, but it's a thing that is used. It's a type of harness that connects a pair of animals, usually oxen in Bible days or whatever, so that they can work together to pull a plow, to pull a cart, to pull a wagon. You have the benefit of two animals' strength doing a job. And Jesus says, take My yoke upon you. Now, we were just talking about rest and work and rest and weariness and rest and overwhelming and rest. This yoke thing sounds like it's hard. This yoke thing sounds like Jesus is going back on His promise. How are we supposed to have rest if we're supposed to be pulling a yoke, which is meant to do hard work? How does that even correspond? It corresponds in the sense that Jesus said, take My yoke. And what He means by that is not just this yoke that I've made for you, but this yoke that we're going to wear together. He says, take on My yoke. You're going to face a lot of things in life. You're going to have a lot of things you've got to do. And there's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be a lot of difficulty. The enemy's going to come against you, but you don't have to do it by yourself. I mean, how many times do we feel that way? I'm doing this thing all by myself. I got all kinds of people around me. Got a spouse, kids, family, whatever. I got brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's great when we have those relationships. And hopefully, if you're married, you have that in relationship with your spouse. But still, times you feel like you're doing it alone because you don't really know if somebody else can truly understand what you're facing. And I would say, don't not try just because you don't think so. Have that person, that group of people that you can share with and join with and be that type of person for someone else to support and encourage and pray for. But can I tell you that there are certain things that we face that nobody else can understand except Jesus? But that's what Jesus is offering. As He makes this invitation, He says, come to Me, take My yoke. You're trying to pull this load by yourself, but I want to pull it with you. I want to pull it with you. It's really interesting that Jesus was very familiar with yokes. In fact, He probably made a lot. We know that His stepfather Joseph was a carpenter. One of the things that carpenters did was making yokes. And so Jesus probably grew up learning how to make yokes and making them very, very well. Obviously, He's not talking about a real physical one here, but in those day and age, the best kind of yoke you could get was not one you just bought off a shelf at the corner market, downtown Jerusalem or wherever. But you would go to a carpenter and you'd take your animals and the carpenter would measure them and they'd get a piece of wood and they'd cut the pieces out that needed to be cut out and they'd put it on there and then they would notice how that animal, each one of the two, was shaped and the musculature and all that kind of stuff, and they would shape that yoke so it'd be perfect for that particular animal or that particular pair of animals. And that's the idea that's here. He says, you know what? You're carrying this load by yourself. I want to carry it with you. And if you will take my yoke, I am going to shape it to make it perfect for you. Perfect for your situation. That's what he means when he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The New Living Translation puts it this way, for my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. His yoke is well-fitting, and with his help, our burden can be light. You've probably experienced something this in the natural realm. I know I have. There have been many times in my life that I've been faced with a project I've got to do. And I either have to pay somebody else to do it, and many times I couldn't afford to pay somebody else to do it, so I got to do it by myself. Don't you love it when you got to do a project concerning something you know absolutely nothing about? You know, we've all had that experience of doing that and just trying to do it the best we could, what seemed to make sense, and we made a mess of it. That's one of the things I like about YouTube and things like that. Now, you can find YouTube videos and instructions on how to do just about anything. But I don't know about you. There's been times I've done a project, I looked up, and it's like, I can't really see what he's doing. You know, he's kind of assuming I know it, whatever. But I can think of many times when I've had a project to do. I remember when we lived in Memphis, Tennessee over 20 years ago, and we had to have some repairs done on our house. Wanted to paint. I went to start painting and discovered some of the See, I don't even know the official terms, but the wood underneath the thing was rotted, and the gutters were starting to fall off, and I needed to have it fixed. It's like, ooh, I can't afford to pay somebody to do this. I got to figure. But you know what? There was a guy in my church. He was one of my deacons. His name was Vic. And he was a handyman, and this is the kind of thing he did. And he always told me, he says, Pastor, if you ever need anything done, let me know. I'll be glad to help you. And he could do anything, just about anything. We got some people in his church here like that too, and they've helped me here, but I'm not going to mention their names because y'all will be good tracking them down. But anyway. But Vic, he was missing a couple fingers because that was part of his learning process. But he was really good by the time I got to know him. And he helped me with so many projects around the house. But I didn't just say, hey, Vic, there you go. Let me know when you're done. It's like, I worked with him. I was there. I mean, I may have just fetched things and carried things and moved the ladder and did whatever, but I was going to do my part. But things are so much easier for the person who knows what they're doing. And I think Jesus wants to come alongside of us to do that. Jesus offers to help carry our load. He offers that we can have a personal relationship with him, but he offers to help carry our load. But if we want to take advantage of his help, we need to be yoked together with him. What does that mean? That means we're connected with him. We're not just coming to him when we need a quick fix and then walking away. It means that we're going the same direction he's going. Can I tell you, if you're yoked up with Jesus, you're not going to decide which direction to go. That might sound limiting, but can I tell you, it's for your own good. Because if we want to go our own direction, we're going to be headed toward a cliff. We're going to be headed toward additional problems. It may be the direction he wants us to take. It looks more difficult, but over the long haul, it's going to be much better for us. Because he sees the big picture. Means cooperating with him. I mean, can you imagine me asking Vic to help me do these projects? And he says, well, we need to do this. And I say, I don't really want to do that. Let's do it a different way. You know, he said, well, we got to replace this piece of wood because it's rotting. Nah, let's just stick some putty on it. You know, no, he knows what's best. Jesus knows what's best. Maybe that's something what some of you guys need to hear. It's like you're struggling and you are dealing with this junk in your life and this overwhelming thing because God's already told you what you need to do about it. And you're like, I don't want to. It's too hard and it doesn't make sense to me or any one of those things. But if we're going to take his yoke, we got to do it his way. We got to go his way in faith, believing that he knows what's best for us. And he wants what's best for us. You might say, you know, I've tried that, Pastor, too. I've asked Jesus to help me and tried to yoke it together, but life still overwhelms me. You know, another thing about the yoke is that the two oxen have to go the same speed. Sometimes we chafe under that yoke, even though we're trying, because we're trying to go too fast. We're trying to run ahead. Or maybe we're dragging our feet, and Jesus says, we got to keep on going. Or maybe we're wanting to steer off to one side, and Jesus says, no, we got to go keep straight ahead. Or maybe we want to go ahead, and he says, no, it's time for a turn. You know, that's how they would train oxen. They would put a older, more mature oxen in a yoke with a young, untrained oxen, and that young oxen would get a really sore neck because they'd be wanting to pull ahead or drag behind or go this way or that way, but the older, more mature, bigger oxen would just keep on plodding, doing the right thing. But when that younger oxen would finally realize, I just need to do what he's doing, need to go where he's going, the speed he's going, not try to run ahead, not try to lag behind, that there's that comfort and a sense of accomplishment. And the same thing is true in our relationship with Jesus. So Jesus gives us these two invitations to come to me, take my yoke. And the third invitation is learn from me. Verse 29, and learn from me. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Are we open to learn? It's interesting that word for learn there is the same root word for disciple. For a disciple of Jesus. A disciple was not just somebody who followed Jesus. They're a follower. They're called followers. They're called disciples. But a disciple, even in the Jewish culture, totally apart from Jesus' disciples, a disciple was someone who says, there is a teacher I greatly admire. I think they're smart. I think they know stuff, good stuff, stuff that I need to know. I think they're living a good lifestyle. I think they're making a good impact. I want to be just like them, so I'm going to become their disciple. I'm going to be their learner. Idea of a student, but not like we have today where students go to school, class, go home, just that little connectedness. No, there was this idea of I'm going to spend as much time with this rabbi, this teacher, as I can, so I can learn what they know, but I can begin to live like they live and do what they do the way they do it. And that's what Jesus' disciples did. A disciple was a learner, one who follows another teachings, but it's based on a relationship. Not just learning facts, but imitating and adopting that person's philosophy and lifestyle and everything else. Are we willing to be a learner? Are we willing to learn from Jesus? I mentioned about Vic helping me out. You know, again, I didn't say, okay, Vic, here's the project. Let me know when you're done. I would be there to help. But it wasn't just to help, just to do it. It's like, I really want to get a chance to try to do it because I want to learn something. So if I've ever got to do this again and Vic's not around, I can do it myself. Okay? And Jesus is the same way. He says, I want to come alongside you. I want you to come alongside me and take my yoke and learn from me so that you can begin to do things for yourself. I'll always be there. I'll always be there to help you, but you'll grow stronger. You'll learn more about how to deal with things. It'll be less painful. It'll be easier road to go. You know, you're still going to face difficulties in life, but I'm going to be there, but you're going to learn. You're going to grow. You're going to mature. In Luke 6:40, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus said this in verse 29 of our text, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is not harsh. Jesus is not overbearing. He's not oppressive. We can trust in his character. Can I tell you who we can't trust? Is the one that many of us perhaps spend a lot of our lives serving, and that's Satan. Our enemy can come to us, even as believers, and try to make a life or a lifestyle or a certain thing apart from God and his standards and his plans for us look so good. And we buy into it, and the next thing we know, we're in bondage. The things that this world celebrates that are anti-God and anti-God standards and anti-God godly, whatever, seem so good at first that they cause destruction. Many of you can give testimony to that. Satan is the harsh taskmaster. Seems like your best buddy just as you're getting going. We become bound by our sin and the consequences of it. So here Jesus offers to teach us all that we need for life here and in eternity. So as we wrap this all up, I just want to ask you, how is life working for you? How's life working for you? I mean, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you may be a great person, you may be trying your best to do good things and all that kind of stuff, but maybe today is the first day you just realize, you know what, I need a relationship with God. I maybe even thought you did, but it's like, well, maybe I had this connection, but it's not really what it should be according to what God's Word says. Maybe today the most important thing you need to do to get your life back on track is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. To repent of your sin and put your faith in Him. Trust in Him for your salvation and just begin to walk that path with Him. But for those of us that are believers, what is it that you're wrestling with today? And please don't feel like, well, if I'm wrestling with something, I really must not be a very good Christian. I want to tell you something. Every single one of us wrestle with things. I wrestle with things. I'll just share you. I have this thing that happens to me every once in a while. Used to be about once a month. I'd go to bed at night, and I'd be tired, and I could not go to sleep. Because my mind is just racing with all kinds of stuff. All the things I got to do, all the things that really need to happen, all the things I'd like to see happen and what God can do in our church, but yet the obstacles that are there, and especially if there's a specific obstacle that's popped its head up or some particular difficulty or whatever, and I know Jesus, I've known Him for 54 years. And I know He loves me, and I know He wants to take care of me, and He wants to help me. And I lay there praying, trying to apply this passage, trying to apply that one about bring all your requests to the Lord with thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I'll lay there for an hour or 2 hours. I cannot fall asleep. I just share that with you. So I know. You say, well, Pastor, that's nothing compared to what I... That's fine. I understand. Some of you are dealing with a lot more difficult things than that and probably a lot more painful things than that. I'm not trying to say I'm on your level. I'm just trying to say that we all struggle with different things. We all struggle with temptation. We all fall ourselves falling into worry from time to time, even though God says, you don't have to worry if you're trusting me. We all face whatever obstacles that come into our life, whether it's a physical problem or a financial problem or whatever, and we struggle with the best way to deal with that and how to bring that to God and rest in Him and all that. I understand that. All I'm trying to say is that that's exactly why Jesus said we can come to Him. Because we're going to struggle. And I started out by saying, you know, how many of you experienced Jesus do this? Yes, how many of you experienced this? But then it isn't too long before the rest isn't there anymore. Can I tell you that's something we're going to live with for the rest of our lives? Because He'll bring us rest for one particular thing in our life, and then something else is going to pop up its ugly head. But that's why Jesus says, come to me. It's not just come to me one time, but keep coming to me. I want to give you rest. So today, as we go into a time of prayer, and we're going to do that the way we've been doing it the last couple of months. Those of you that have been here, I know we got some guests, so you're like, what's Pastor talking about? Used to be that we'd get to the end of the service, we'd have a time of prayer, maybe pray for people's needs, then we come up and have a closing prayer and say amen, and everybody go home. We've not been doing that for the last couple of months, and I anticipate that we're going to continue to go forward doing what we've been doing, what I'm describing to you, and that is that in a few moments, I'm going to pray, ask God to touch us and work in our lives. And then we're going to go into a time of prayer when we encourage every single one of you to not leave until you've touched God about whatever's going on in your life. We'll have prayer team down here. We'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you about whatever's going on in your life, especially if you need to know Jesus as your Savior. The worship team will be playing and or singing, and you're welcome to join in and just worship God, because maybe today everything's cool for you. It's like, thank you, Jesus. We encourage you to meditate on what God has spoken to you about. We encourage you to pray about what God has spoken to you. Again, with one of us if you want to, or just find a place on your own. But then because we won't have a formal closing prayer, you can leave when you choose to. But as I've been challenging you the last couple of months, I challenge you not to just be ready to, I'm going to leave quick because I'm ready to go eat or whatever. But to wait until you and God have had some time together. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to invite our... prayer team forward, our elders, prayer team staff. We're going to be down here up front, ready, willing to pray with you if you want prayer for yourself or for somebody else. Maybe there's somebody else that weighs on your heart that you want us to pray with you about. But today, if you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come. We want to pray with you to establish that relationship with Him. If you are just carrying a burden, whatever that burden is, whatever it looks like, and especially if you're saying, but Pastor, I've been prayed for so many times for this burden, and it's not gone. Maybe God doesn't want to do anything. Unless He's told you He's not going to do anything, come for prayer. Maybe today's your day. I don't know. You don't have to share everything about what's going on in your life. Just whatever you want to. But we'd be glad to pray with you. Maybe God's been working with your heart about, okay, I need to start cooperating with Jesus. Maybe you've been kind of dragging behind, rushing ahead, pulling the wrong way, and it's like, I got to get back on His path. But whatever it is, meet with God before you leave today. Father, we love You. God, we thank You for Your presence in this place. Lord, I thank You for this message that You put on my heart, that I believe You want to do some real works in people's lives today, but it's their choice. Are they going to respond to Your invitation to come, to take up the yoke, to learn, to follow? Are they going to come and pray or ask for prayer? Are they going to come and surrender? Are they going to come and say, God, open my eyes and show me what I need to do or not? It's really in their hands between them and You. But God, I pray that no one would leave without receiving what You have for them today. I don't know what that is because You've not given me any specific words for anybody. But I believe You want to touch some people today. I believe, Lord God, You want to forgive some people. I believe that You want them to experience that joy of forgiveness. I believe You want to set people free from bitterness and unforgiveness. I believe You want to give people, Lord God, extra strength to fight that battle, Lord God, that they're fighting right now, or have victory over that temptation, Lord God. I believe maybe for some, You just want to give them enough strength to go through another day, because sometimes things get so rough. It's like, I just need strength for another day. But today, Lord, I believe You want to touch people. And I pray that You would do that today. And God, when we do leave this place, whenever that is, Lord God, I pray that we would go out free. I pray that we would go out filled with Your joy, Your peace, and Your love, ready to make a difference in our world for Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank You and I praise You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Spend some time with God. Come for prayer if you'd like that. You're free to leave when you'd like to leave. Thank You, Jesus.
Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.